Better late than ever. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. It's game day.
Oh, buddy.
Not just any day. Canada versus the U.S. tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. Sammy, look at me. Breathe.
Sammy's doing ungood. I'll be honest, he's doing ungood.
The good air out with the bad. You okay? Can you do 2 hours of this to get us closer to puck drop?
I booked 3 great guests so you guys could talk. Like, I really am not in a good way today. It's been a day already. It's only 4 o'clock.
It's been a lot emotionally online. All right.
Three amazing guests, all with international experiences for their respective countries. In about half an hour, we'll welcome in Scott Niedermayer, 4-time Stanley Cup champion, 2-time Olympic gold medalist. At the top of the hour, Olympic gold medalist in 2002, Eric Lindros will join us as well. And then we got to have a balance here for the USA. We're going to track down, to the best of our abilities, Jeremy Roenick.
Yeesh. Yeah, we are.
Okay.
We are, yeah.
That's pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good for game day.
If we cannot get you ready for puck drop, nobody can.
No. And it's possible that nobody can, because I don't think Sam's even ready, so. He doesn't want to be here right now.
Okay.
Well, go ahead, boys. You talk. You set it up. Your names are on the show. You talk.
No. Listen, you've worn the hats before, but the jersey is another level.
I've never worn a jersey before.
You're close to being Elaine's boyfriend on Seinfeld.
The devil.
Right?
I mean, I would have painted my face today. I did put a little makeup on, so that's technically painting my face.
You are this close to being a face painter right now.
I thought I had to show support for my team.
Oh.
Or my country. Been under a lot of questions whether it is our country anymore, and there's been a lot of people talking about what's happening. But I thought I'd put on the jersey today. Mm-hmm. It's rare that I've never done it, and I decided to do it today. I am terrified of this game tonight, boys. We can get into it. You guys can talk a little bit, but I feel, you know, the Leafs relationship is different. I used to feel like this about the Leafs when I was in my 20s, and I, you know, it's been beat out of me. But having this, having the stakes, having everything, I have been sick to my stomach since I woke up today.
Okay.
I am deathly
Please
nervous.
Come into my office, lie on the couch, and talk to me.
Yes. Okay.
What are you scared about?
I am scared that the level of winning doesn't match how bad it is to lose. Where you've lost them a Saturday night, and we talked about that a ton, and how much that hurt and how much that sucked and the way that game went and all that stuff. If you win tonight, unbelievable. You win the Four Nations Face-Off trophy. It's great. You win.
Which is a nothing meaningful.
No, it's not. No. We're not going there.
It's
we're
just
not doing
a
that.
Dumb trophy.
We're not doing that right now.
No, we are.
No, just let me finish.
It's not about the trophy.
It's not about the trophy.
That's my whole point.
Okay,
it's
that's
stupid.
Fair. Sure.
And it's meaningless.
Sure.
It's not about the trophy.
But you're facing either going 1-1 versus the States, mm-hmm. right? Where you've beat them once, they've beat you once. Or you're facing going 0-2 against them, and they win this trophy that nobody cares about, according to you. Everybody cares about it. It's a huge, huge stakes hockey game that I can't remember having this feeling about.
You're not getting to the core, okay?
What's the core?
The core is, what are you scared of now that if they go 0-2,
mm-hmm.
if we have this amazing game,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a bad bounce, either late in the game or in overtime.
Yeah.
And they find a way to win the game now. They strip you of...
It's getting to say it's our game.
Right? It strips you of your supremacy for hockey in Canada. That's what you're really scared of.
Correct. And I think the record that Canada has against the States in best-on-best tournaments, I think Canada and USA have met 20 times in best-on-best tournaments. Canada's 14-5 in those games with one tie in those games. Here's what I'll say. Canada usually wins this game. Mm-hmm. And over the years, you look back on all these games that have come to it, and it's USA versus Canada. Canada usually wins this game. But I am terrified what it means for the game I love, for the country I love, what it means if they don't get it. I'm terrified by that.
Is he legit here, or is he just sensitive?
I mean,
and he's
a complete basket case.
Both can be true. I think, you know, there's the hockey standpoint, and then there's the greater Canadian identity standpoint. There is no doubt that the percentage of Canadian hockey players in the NHL is on decline. The American percentage is on the way up. Sam is worried that we have hit where they cross, and the twain never shall meet again. Like, it's over. Like, the Americans are going to pass us. He's afraid we're there. And this has been our identity, that it's our game.
The rosters are really close.
Yeah.
They're close.
And they didn't used to be.
Okay, I'll grant you that. But, like, we're also dealing with a country that has 333 million people to start picking hockey players from.
Yeah.
And we've got 35 million.
And that's what was so amazing about us being dominant.
It is kind of inevitable that they will either close it or...
It is not inevitable, is the point.
You're not making me feel better here. Is this supposed to be the therapist corner here? You're making me feel worse.
So...
You're doing a great job, brother. I want my money back.
It's okay that you can be that close together. And then you're in a pick'em kind of situation, which we are in tonight. Are we not in a
best 365?
Right?
Says we're in a pick'em.
Split right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is there any chance at all that Canada could play a really sound, hard game, lose by a overtime goal, and now we've lost our manhood?
I don't know, because I don't feel that way.
I don't feel that way either.
Yes, but I maybe Sam can answer that better. I still feel like we have the best players on earth, and we could put a second team in this tournament that might win it too, and I still feel good about things.
Mm. Interesting. Quite a perspective there, boys. Regardless of what happens tonight, and we are in for, may I say, what is going to be a fabulous hockey game. I don't think there's any way that this game sucks tonight, okay? But, like, your contention here is that it does, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big a deal. Is that what you're saying?
I think if it's a hard-fought game, they look good, they go down swinging, and they lose by... Okay, they can win the Four Nations, and we'll win the Olympic gold next February.
Yeah.
And then where are we? Right back to where we were before.
I think you, Mr. Therapist, are nudging us down the road to looking at politics, to saying it's not just the Four Nations. You're right. The trophy isn't just the thing. The president's involved. The countries are involved.
He's starting to get smarter. He is. He's always been pretty good. But where he's getting, he's starting to figure me out just a little bit, and I don't like it.
I don't like it. Just the trophy, is it?
So this is where we are right now as we go to our first Kipper's Clipper on where politics has seeped in to this week and what's it really done to lead us into this championship game. Let's go to head coach Mike Sullivan from the U.S. Hockey Club to speak on that very subject.
No, I can't. I can only speak for our group. It has not. I think politics aside, these guys are hockey players. They love to play hockey. They love to compete. And they have a certain pride with respect to their country. And so I think that is the motivation and the inspiration to bring out the best in each individual in our room. I know what this means to these guys. They're vested, and they're looking forward to the opportunity to play tonight.
Left side, second row.
How would you assess Kyle Connor's tournament so far?
So the inspiration isn't annexing Canada to be the 51st state then? I guess different from what some other people were saying?
This is where we will not allow the USA Hockey Club to have their cake and eat it too.
No. And I think what Bill Guerin said, you know, he went on Fox News and made comments that maybe were slightly misconstrued, but he did invite the president, had the president call in to Team USA Today, and a reporter asked him, was there any talk of annexing Canada to be the 50th state? And he said, a little bit. It was mostly about, he's like, what do you mean a little? Like, obviously then yes. And then I think Guerin and other people, when asked about this, said, but it's not about that. It's not about politics. It's about the hockey teams. And it's like, You can't just suddenly take a lot of heat for making it political and say, well, now it's not about politics. You drag the politics into it.
I'm so with you on this, 100%. You don't get to have a president pump up the boys with, we're going after Canada, Zoom call today or audio call, whatever you want to call it, yeah. And then turn around and get to tell us, well, we just want to focus on hockey. We don't really want to. No. That's not the way it works. Mm-hmm. You want to drag in a president that wants to strip us of our country on a day of a hockey game, then you know what? The boys are fair game.
Yeah.
They're fair game. And you don't get to hide off of no comment to me. You know? Like, so that's where it opens up for the media. And I've been around this thing for like 25 years. I don't think they're going to go away. Those guys have to answer the question on, do you support this? Is this part of the strategy to be motivated to go win Canada over?
And I think, Kip, that maybe part of this is the coaches trying to keep the players focused on what matters, the forecheck, the power play. This is just about hockey, whatever. But by doing this, you have inflamed the political tensions around your room, which you're right, will eventually lead to interviews, questions, whatever.
And I think it's a problem for the NHL.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, I do. We've got American players that play in Canada.
Captains, right? Brady Tkachuk and Austin Matthews in Ontario
so,
here.
Austin, like, you know, you're the captain of the team.
What do you think?
Well, Austin, what do you think? I got no comment. Let's like, well, is it going to be left alone now? You invited it. Yeah. Your program invited the political angle in on this. And for some in the media, it just might not be enough to say no comment. Mm-hmm. You're playing in Canada. You're working in Canada. You're earning a living in Canada. How do you feel about it, Austin?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the fact that your president wants to take over Canada?
Yeah.
And how many jobs that could be potentially lost in this country because of it? How do you feel about that?
Yeah. No, I have no rebuttal to that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Cooper has a quote too, and we have a Cooper line on this subject where he says something similar to Sullivan, that it's not about this bigger thing. It's about hockey. Am I right? Is that sort of the tenor of the...
Before we play that clip,
yeah,
can I just pose something to you?
Mm-hmm.
That the way this game has been built up in the United States and the president calling into them and, like you said, ESPN Maine, like everything, it's all hands on deck there for this. And everyone's talking about it, the big number down there. I saw a clip of Matthew Tkachuk FaceTiming with Charles Barkley in the locker room before the game. He's like, we have to win it. We have to win it. That's what he's saying. To the point earlier in the week about getting asked if they're underdogs, I do think that as much pressure as there is here in Canada on this Canadian roster to perform and to win, I think this storm around USA has created such a massive amount of pressure for them going into this game.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much at stake with all these new eyeballs watching, with all these new fans after the three fights and all that stuff. The amount of pressure that they have on them is immense.
How could
it not be?
I can't disagree with that either.
The president's calling you. You're talking about taking over
Canada.
In the U.S.,
J.J. Watt's tweeting about it. It's
you know, like, you know, pardon my take, the biggest sports podcast in America, they're having a live view. They flew in some random Canadian. They're doing, like, a live viewing of the hockey game tonight. Like, this is their big chance. And on the other side, you have Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Cale Makar, Sidney Crosby, all guys that have not said one thing about this. They haven't waded into this. They haven't made it about the politics. All they've been talking about is winning a hockey tournament. And it's two very different things that adds a lot to it. I think there's a ton of pressure on these American guys. There is.
It's a valid point.
Great.
Well said. Listen, it also could be me being like, there's more pressure on them. Like, Canada doesn't even care about this. But, like, I am really interested to see how they respond. And they have... Like they only have the three cup winners on their team, right? We've talked about this ad nauseum.
And you know what? It kind of disappoints me that this thing is kind of turned into a little bit of this political circus.
Yeah.
And while everybody wants to jump on ratings and great for the game and, you know, all of that, let's face it. Like, the attention that this has gotten now isn't because Connor McDavid's such a great skater. It's because America woke up when they found out that we booed their anthem. That's what started this whole thing.
Well, I don't know about that.
Look at the ratings in the first games.
Yeah.
They were normal ratings. And then it jumps from 700,000 people to... No, it's not.
Yes, because it's Canada, USA.
We booed the U.S. anthem. That was the lead.
It's a not piece the, of the juice.
Not the sports. Not, hey, last night's scores. It was on every major media channel across the U.S. It led with the booing. That's what started this thing.
Listen, it's been 9 years since our country has played their country, and that was going to be a big game, whether we had booed it or not. The numbers it did, over 10 million people watched that game internationally.
After the booing.
Well, yeah. What was it going to be pre-booing? 700,000? Yeah, you had 9.3 million people tuned in for booing?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Give it some credit. Why don't you want to give this tournament any credit? This has been a long-awaited their best against our best. That's all we've wanted to see.
But that's not that.
There's
it's
no doubt
politically
this is juice for
driven.
It. Certainly in Canada. Okay. You know what? They don't even know how sensitive we are about this annexation stuff. It's a joke there. It's a like they don't even take Trump seriously. They don't know how touchy we are about this, which we should be. But it's a layer, man.
It's a layer.
And which is why when you go online today and you tweet the Trizzy train is coming about Canada, about Trump potentially coming here, you're going to be in hot water.
And again, that's where some people, if they want to jump on this bandwagon of attention and stuff, you're really putting yourself out there. That's what happened to PK Subban today, right? With what did he call Trump's?
Yeah, the Trizzy train is what he called. You know, he shared Trump's tweet, and you know, which says that, you know, maybe soon we'll be the 51st state and the Governor Trudeau and all that. And he says the Trizzy train is coming.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
And that's opened up a lot of backlash on PK, and one of them's from an ex-teammate.
Yeah, Akeem Alou has like a 7-paragraph takedown.
He took a pretty good run at him.
He did.
But that's
you open yourself up.
But that goes to show you the temperature, right? Yeah. So now I'm hearing some executives who were planning on going there aren't going there because they don't want to get caught up in that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, and I think this probably, and I can't speak to this, I wasn't alive, but I imagine the summit series picked up intensity, ferocity, you know, Canada losing some of the early games, I'm sure gave it some juice as it went on. But you hear people talk about the summit series now as one of the seminal moments in international hockey history. And that would have been a made-up tournament, which is a thing that bothers me when people say, because they're all made up. And it became something that meant something, and this has become something that means something. And yeah, you're right. I get why people want to just kind of, I don't want to be the one to touch the stove and get my hand burned, so I'm going to keep my hands behind my back, which might be the right move for some of these guys.
All right, let's go to Mike Sullivan again, head coach of the USA team, on the impact that it's having in his country right now, this series.
Well, we're trying to win a game first and foremost, so we're digging in here. And we're spending a lot of time with our team, our coaches. We're doing everything we can to try to set our group up for success. That's part of it. Having said that, you know, I've got more phone calls and texts in the last couple of days from people that I haven't heard from in a long time, and I think that's just an indication of the impact that this tournament has had. I think, you know, and I've said this on more than one occasion, it's an incredible celebration of hockey. These are the very best players in the game. These are the guys that, these are the savants that when they bring their creativity and their brilliance to what they do out there, that's how the game evolves. And that's what we're seeing. That's what we're witnessing firsthand. I feel like I have the best seat in the house because I'm up close to it, right behind the bench.
He's saying the right thing.
I got to tell you, I've listened to a ton of Mike Sullivan throughout this tournament, and this will be the last nice thing I say about Team USA, but I like him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really, he's concise. He's a good speaker. Other than saying Quinn Hughes is coming, which was probably the dumbest thing he could have ever said.
He must have been fed some
bad. He's got some bad info. Yeah. Billy Guerin was too busy talking to Fox News about Trump to give him the right info or whatever. But yeah, I really liked him, the way stuff he said.
And he was a lot closer to maybe becoming a Boston Bruin head coach one day than he is today, because the Boston Bruins are absolutely furious with Team USA on Charlie McAvoy.
Yeah.
They are ballistic.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah. So it's not good.
Have you heard anything more on that? Because, I mean, that Frege clip from our show yesterday.
Yeah, Frege.
He was as direct about that as I've ever heard about anything.
And basically had a shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, they gave him a shot. I think they tried to freeze it, to be honest with you.
Is that right?
I'm sitting there going.
That already is bad to hear.
And I'm going, game seven in the Stanley Cup playoffs or a final? Yeah, we freeze.
They tried to freeze it to play in this?
Exhibition game Saturday night.
With the playoff spot on the line
for
the club?
And then it gets infected.
Mm. Oh, my God. They have every right to be pissed if that's how that played out. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Like, it's, but, like, why are we shooting up guys for an exhibition series here?
Well, because he obviously was dying to play in
that game. Yeah, that's it, is that these guys don't view it as, you know, NHL exhibition game. This is obviously more meaningful.
Yeah. So
I know you don't want people to care about this. They do.
No, I'm not saying that they shouldn't care about this. I'm saying that we got to rethink about putting the guys in this position moving forward here.
Yeah.
You want to do this every 2 years? Mm-hmm. And we're going to have the guys play like this? Come on.
This is wild.
Mark my words. This will become a hot button topic moving forward.
Oh, you're right.
Going to do, how we're going to do it. Like, this Charlie McAvoy story will not go away, because this is not the way you want teams' biggest assets to be treated.
No.
And the Boston Bruins, I think, should be in a position.
Would they have been consulted?
That's a good question, and I can't answer that. I don't know. Right?
They would have had to.
But there is talk that they may have done this on their own. USA Hockey may have maybe made the decision. There were Minnesota doctors, and I hear good things about the staff, the doctors, that when you put a needle in anybody's body, there's always a risk of infection.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I don't know if Boston's not acting like they knew.
Right.
Is my point.
It's crazy.
I guess a hockey note. Travis Konecny's out for Seth Jarvis tonight. Since we are a hockey show.
I know. And there is so much there from the hockey side of things.
Do you want to get Cooper's thoughts on the effect in the room?
No.
Okay, we'll move on.
Are we done politics?
I don't know. You clipped it.
I did, but it feels like
we beat it up.
We kind of beat it up a little bit. I mean, we got a break here shortly for Niedermayer anyway, but the big news, I guess, today for on the ice is that Konecny's coming out for Seth Jarvis, and the coach talked about it. Can we get clip one, please, Cooper?
He's going to replace Konecny tonight, and the same reason there's a lot of, you know, why it was reversed the last game, and just needs and wants, and we built this team to win, and everybody's gonna have to chip in their own ways. Some chip in some games, some chip in others, and some chip in all of them, and they've all been a big part of why we're sitting here, and it was ultimately it.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He is.
Yeah.
Seth Jarvis is a heck of a player.
Wish Mark Scheifele was drawn in tonight.
I like him a lot, but he's not growing any bigger than he did earlier in the tournament.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate part.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I will say is he does feel like a pretty tenacious guy. Hopefully the USD is not big and imposing. No Charlie McAvoy. It does feel like one of those guys could have a night tonight. You know, with the other, surely they're going to be matching Slavin against McDavid. Mm-hmm. Likely the Werenski pair against MacKinnon. Like maybe he's able to get a matchup and have a moment. It's it could be anyone's night tonight. I don't think there's going to be a lot of offense, so I know Sammy's.
I really.
Does that.
I don't think you can, just as a hockey conversation, the swing of Saturday night from Charlie McAvoy out to Makar in, the way that swings these two rosters is what helps me sleep at night.
Yeah.
I really do think the lack of him. But then you still worry about Binnington, who is still the goalie tonight, right? He's starting tonight. They didn't fly in Logan Thompson. That part of it still scares me. Yeah. But having Makar really does make me feel a little bit better.
You know, Hellebuck's had a number of bad playoffs in a row.
I know.
You know, so there is, you know, I don't know how you feel about the, this guy has a big ego and has played in big moments and had success versus Hellebuck's been great, but had some soft moments.
Yeah.
I don't know which you'd rather have.
I do agree with the go big or go home with Binnington from start to finish.
Well, at this point, you have to go there.
There might be something about him that's just, he's cocky enough to maybe get away with.
Gives you confidence.
Just squirrely enough to
just
get in there.
And, something. Yeah. And it's, if we look back on it, we're going to look at four games, and if he's left his best for last, then it works.
Yeah.
And was it Valley who talked about to win the Stanley Cup in St. Louis, he had some bad games, but when it counted, he came through.
Who? It was Carter. Carter.
Yeah. All right, there you go, Carter. And all he needs is one good game out of four.
And you do feel like because of that confidence, he's not nervous in the big moments. Like, he's going to be able to give his best.
Please.
Hey, I think Carter said he gave up five the game before he goes into Boston.
He did.
And beats the Bruins in game seven.
Yeah.
That's got to make him feel good in that building.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
And you know,
he was also played in the pressure cooker of the OHL Finals game seven when my own sound attack beat the St. Michael's Majors in game seven overtime.
Huge.
He was in net for that too.
I'll just say, if one of the teams, if we're sitting here tomorrow and one of the teams has won 4-1, 5-0, it would be much more shocking for the U.S. to have done it to Canada than Canada to do it to the U.S. because we do have the best players. Connor McDavid could go off. McKinnon could go off.
Makar
can go off. If one of these teams, and so you have to feel better anytime you feel like your team has a higher ceiling to get to in these games. So, yeah, I think they're 51% favorites.
Oh, my God. We should go.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, four-time Stanley Cup champion Scott Niedermeyer will join us, and he'll get us set up. He'll have that calming influence on our Sammy.
Yes.
After the break, more Real Kipper and Bourne.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The JD Bunkus podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Canada and U.S. set to meet tonight in a final of a best-on-best tournament for the first time since 2010 Olympics. With that, let's welcome in Scott Niedermeyer, Olympic gold medalist. Of course, twice and Stanley Cup champion, and a guy that may know something about a Canada-U.S. matchup. Scott, thanks for joining us. Any plans tonight at all?
I don't know. Is there something on TV? Yeah. No, looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun. Should be a great game, obviously.
And you're out west, right? You're in California?
We're in British Columbia.
You're in British Columbia. And what is the
vibe? We're in Canada.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
We're on the good side. We're on the good side of the line here.
What is the vibe out there in terms of either your neighborhood, your community? What's the feeling been like over the buildup of this thing?
Yeah, I think people have been a bit surprised with just the level of hockey and the, you know, sort of the level of intensity that these games are being played with. This weekend, I was on the road with my youngest son coaching, and we were playing during the game against the U.S., and people were just going crazy, looking at their phones, watching the highlights at the start of the game. So this game's really got a good buildup, and I think everybody's going to be tuned in tonight.
So we spoke with Eric Lindros today, and we'll run that interview a little bit later in the show. But one of the questions I asked him was just, what's the difference in the feel playing in a winner-takes-all single game, you know, playing for Canada versus some of those Stanley Cup final games you would have played in?
Well, I mean, it's like you said, winner take all. There isn't a tomorrow. It's a game seven. You know, there's no room for mistakes. Leave it all on the line, all those things, and it's all true. And needless to say, there's a lot of emotion leading into a game like this, a lot of anticipation, a bit of nerves. You know, and the more you've been in it, I think it can benefit you. And I'm sort of going to bank on that tonight, where you've got some Canadian guys that have been in these type of games one way or another. And I think that's going to bode well for their performance tonight.
Scott, when you talk about managing expectations, when you represent your country compared to maybe managing the expectations of a city you represent in a Stanley Cup playoffs, is there much of a margin for you?
I wouldn't say there's a big one. I think when you get to the top of the pile going for a medal, you know, for your country, or you're going for a Stanley Cup championship, the emotion, the intensity is at the highest level. You have to bring everything you have to sort of that situation. So it's a bit different. There obviously is a different feel when, you know, you're playing for a country and, you know, you're kind of aware of that on an intellectual sort of mindset, that type of thing. But as a player, I think it's a matter of getting out there, being focused, and trusting what you have to do out there to help your team succeed.
Scott, you played with Drew Doughty during the 2010 Olympics. He's still involved in a very meaningful hockey game here. What are your thoughts on his game then and now?
Yeah, I mean, time just flies, obviously. I think of him exactly that, as a young guy, young teammate, you know, that stepped in and kind of brought that youthful enthusiasm to our team in Vancouver. And here he is, the elder statesman back on the blue line. So I think he'll, you know, be a level head out there. He's been in Stanley Cups, won Stanley Cups before, been in the Olympics, had success there. So I think he'll be one of those guys that's been in a situation like this before. He'll bring the emotion, he'll bring the intensity, but he'll understand how to use it to help his team and help himself perform.
Scott, when I picture you or remember you representing Canada, you were that defenseman that could control the game, pace of play. Cale Makar is similar in that scenario. We saw a game Saturday night where the USA team got the lead and then just shut the door down. I mean, how does a guy like Cale, or your experiences over the years, when there's not that much room out there and you may want to do something you think is there or isn't there, how do you pick your spots when you're a go-to guy like yourself?
Yeah, I think that's something you do learn as a young player. You make some mistakes when you're younger, and you can't afford to make mistakes in a game like tonight. And I think that's a great question. I think Cale has been in some of these big games. He understands, you know, the fine line there. He knows what he can do, and at the right time, the nature of the game, the score, the time, all those things will go into sort of his decision-making. He's got a lot of talent up front to get the puck to. You know, he really isn't obviously going to be relied on to do everything for that team. You know, the subtle little plays he can make, breaking pucks out of our own end, out of the D zone, offensively supporting the attack, getting shots to the net, that type of thing can be the difference. Oftentimes it is one subtle little play, or, you know, everybody on the ice chips in with something that makes a difference in a game like this. And he understands that, I'm sure.
Scott, when the stakes are this high, like I read a great book by Dr. Dana Sinclair, who we had on, the sports psychologist, and it's called Dialed In. And in when the moments are this big, did you ever find yourself drifting from the hockey game to be and almost like being aware of where you are, what it's worth, or were you able to stay in the game all the time?
I think when you're performing at your best, you're in the moment. There's no question about that. I think at times in a moment like this, you can kind of, you know, what if I make a mistake? What if something bad happens? I think that's not a good state to be in either. You have to trust the work you've done. You have to trust your teammates, yourself, the game plan, and just be immersed and focused on that the whole way through, and then let it play out as it will. So I think that those are good questions. Probably one of the big challenges of a moment like this for all people involved, the players and coaches even, I think, for managing through this. But like I said, I think the guys that have been through this, it is an advantage in how to handle those type of situations and be where you need to.
One of the things I think that you probably didn't experience that these guys are experiencing today is just this political, the political landscape of what's going on off the ice between Canada and the U.S. If by chance Canada pulls this off, do you think maybe it could feel close for Canadians, a golden goal kind of feel that we all had in 2010?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. I mean, you know, the president south of the border, he's not afraid to stir up some controversy, get his name in the headlines. He kind of does that every 5 or 10 minutes. and obviously, we've become a target here. And I think we have a lot of pride. And I've been really actually impressed just by how Canadians have sort of banded together and shown that pride over the last few weeks with what's going on. And I absolutely think it would mean more, you know, to win tonight. I think people, that would just be another, you know, part of our pride and going forward as a country and what we're all about. And, you know, I always say hockey's maybe the ultimate team game where you rely on others. You don't take all the credit yourself. And that would be the way Canada wins here tonight for sure.
So you were on the ice for the golden goal. Am I correct in saying that?
I was on the ice. If you go back even a little further on the highlight, which is usually cut off, I gave a puck away in our own zone. Luongo made a save. Then I recollected it and gave it to Sid, and he went down, and that's where the highlight starts. But that's hockey. You have to be able to, you know, bounce back and, you know, trust your teammates. Luongo did his thing there. When I made a mistake, he bailed me out, and the rest is history. So
did you see it go in?
Yeah, I was kind of sneaking down into the high slot. I was wide open. I probably yelled for the
were you actually?
By mistake, but... yeah, it was pretty cool to see. I have a really good memory of the puck hitting the back pad of the net because the angle I was coming in, the net was empty, and I could just see the puck hit the back there, which wow. Needless to say was a good sight.
Anything in particular when you're in a scenario of one winner, one game, winner take all, the feelings that or the words that were uttered prior to the game, or even in between periods to calm the nerves down? Could it be similar to what they're experiencing tonight?
That's an important part for sure. The preparation. Sometimes maybe you get distracted or away from what you normally do. I think you have to keep it as consistent as you normally would. The emotion and intensity of the moment is going to make that a challenge, but ultimately that's your job. Trust what you've done, trust the preparation, trust your habits of what you do as a hockey player and as a team, and go out there and do it as well as you can. And I think that's the best way to try and win a game like this.
I think we'd trust it a lot more if you could suit up tonight.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I feel good. I feel good about it. I think there's guys there that know what they're doing. We're in good shape.
Love it.
Really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us on such a special night here. Scott, thanks for doing this, pal.
No problem. Good talking to you guys.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much.
Four-time Stanley Cup champion Scott Niedermeyer, two-time Olympic gold medalist.
First in to hug Sid, I'm told, from Stan McKee.
Correct. I have in my office, where I do Leafs talk from, I have a massive picture right beside me of Sid with his hands in the air and the first guy with the arm around him, number 27, Scott Niedermeyer. And if you're watching on YouTube or Sportsnet, the reason there's an A on this Sidney Crosby jersey that I'm wearing today. The C was on our guest that we just had there. So he was the captain.
Captain of that squad.
He was the Sidney of the room.
Yeah. Right. And I just watched the clip, which I really enjoy usually. Wide open's a stretch. Like it would have been quite a pass to make there.
But he could have gave it to him?
100%. He was coming down the chute wide open. And I love him talking about him having a great angle.
Yeah.
Because he did. Yeah. He was right between, like just above the hash marks. So we would have seen it hit hard in first.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that is, so last night I watched Sportsnet's behind the scenes on the Four Nations, and they got the coaches mic'd up. Mm-hmm. And one of the things John Cooper says, and he yells it several times over, is be selfish, be selfish, be selfish.
Yes.
He's trying to say to these guys, we're not six pack. You know, he wants Sid to shoot that.
Yeah.
He's not looking for the cutesy one to Niedermeyer. And that's the game where they show him yelling that, where McDavid shoots it in off the post, McKinnon shoots a couple in.
Mm-hmm.
Be selfish. This is one of the themes, and you don't know how many shots you're going to get or opportunities, so pull the trigger.
I do have an issue a little bit with I saw some saying this is the biggest game on Canadian soil. I think it was Frank Cervelli that tweeted, it's like the biggest game on American soil since 1980, and he explained, it's just like, you know, there will never, this is an incredible tournament, and this is going to be a huge moment for whoever wins this. But 2002 to me, and even ahead of 2010,
Salt Lake, yeah,
will always be the most meaningful. And maybe it's just the age I was at, or maybe whatever it is, but no, it's just all the players that were involved and just everything that happened. Like, this is a monumental sports event, and I don't want to take anything away from it.
No, but it doesn't have the history of Canada chasing a gold medal for 50 years.
Yeah. 2002 is a massive, and everybody Canadian listening to it, it is. Yeah. It just is. Like, this is huge. Now, don't get me wrong.
Do you want to weigh in on that before I go on my little spiel here?
I can't wait for yours.
My spiel is, I have been seeing people say, and Connor Bedard said this, that this is the highest level hockey ever played. And so for me, it's like, oh, come on. And then you sit back and you go, when has there ever been this collection of talent playing with that level of effort and intensity? If you believe that the game has increasingly got better year over year, it's reasonable to say that this is the best hockey ever played.
Again, though, like, it's just the eye of the beholder.
Yep.
Like, I don't need every guy skating 1,000 miles an hour just to go to the wrong place. Yeah. You know? I mean, it's what you think is the ingredients.
Because it will settle in be a hockey
game. It's whatever the ingredients that you think that you like about your hockey game.
Yeah.
And Connor's how old? 19?
Bedard?
Yeah, he's Connor. He's like, whatever. He hasn't been around to see too much, but in his eyes, I certainly get it.
Yeah, and like, no NHL team can rival that level of talent trying that hard.
If it's the fastest, it would go down as one of the fastest games or tournaments that we've ever seen. But is it greatest?
Yeah.
Can I read you the lines from the 2002 team when somebody says that?
Yeah.
Kariya, Lemieux, Yzerman, top line. Gagne, Sakic, Iginla, Shanahan, Neuendijk, Fleury, Lindros, Nolan, Pekka, Ryan Smith is your extra, Pronger, McInnes, Niedermeyer, Foote, Jovanovski, Blake, with Brodeur, Joseph, and Belfour in net.
That's the best Canadian team ever assembled.
Unbelievable hockey team.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think this is great. It's fast. It's it's upbeat, but it's not.
Just even Saturday night, the other day we went at it pretty good. I'm like, after the U.S. went up, I saw a lot of kind of not incredible hockey. I saw a lot of shutting down. I saw a lot of star players not getting near the net.
Well, but see, this is what's going to happen tonight is everyone's all fired up for this game, but it's an hour of hockey. And eventually, you can't run out of position in a neutral zone forecheck. You drop back into your spots. You can cut a guy off and run interference, and it slows down. Puck gets done. It'll be hockey at some point. And people are going to go, God, I thought this was supposed to be whatever. And it's like, it's not a drag race. Yeah. It's an hour of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So,
To Scott's point, we're going to hear Eric Lindros in a few minutes here at the top of the hour. These guys know it's you pick your spots.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sometimes when you got to sit back. You got to manage the clock or you got to manage the situation. And you got to go risk reward. And I'm not willing to jump up on this play. So it may look bad for you for the next minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but I'm not making the mistake.
And to go back to that show last night, one of the things Cooper says is you don't have to and you can't win every shift. The goal is to tie every shift or win them, but not lose any. So you're always making the conservative choice in hopes you win seven of them. And you lose zero of them. But that means there's going to be 50 ties or whatever it works out to after that. A lot of tie shifts. A tie's okay. A tie, you're playing for the next guy to get him on a good spot. Next thing I want to ask you about is about the crowd, which is going to be more split down the middle, right? Like Montreal crowd was Canada. And I imagine the crowd won't seem as good tonight because they'll be cheering for different things much more than in Montreal.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, is it going to be predominantly Americans in there?
I would imagine there's going to be some Canucks down there, boys.
Like, if it's 20,000, like,
I'll tell you something. 12,000 Americans? The weather hasn't helped anybody.
It's true.
The fact that Toronto's a major hub.
Yeah, you can't get anywhere.
Has not helped anybody in North America
get to Boston. Yeah, so maybe be more American crowd. I mean,
Seth Jarvis's friends drove 30 hours, didn't they?
No. Wasn't it 30 of them?
I thought it was whatever. There's a 30 involved.
Yeah.
I hope it's a split at best. It would be fun that Canada and the players
have a pro-American crowd.
Us against the world.
Okay.
We got a couple of Coop clips, which...
I just wanted to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
And it's a very philosophical one. Heading in, because we are in our lease hour, after all.
Oh, boy.
So, Saturday night, game 56, Carolina Hurricanes, Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
How the hell am I supposed to care about that?
It's been fun.
This has been the most supercharged emotionally, politically, hockey for 2 weeks here, where I've lost sleep over these games. I've been sick to my stomach. I haven't felt like this for Leafs playoffs.
About Steven Lorenz in a bit.
I haven't thought
who we
like
love, by the way.
I saw a clip. I don't know, like Leafs latest, which is like they aggregate all the Leafs stuff, do a fantastic job. And I saw them put out like a board, be like, Craig Berube really praised Matthew Knies. I'm like, oh my God, how am I supposed? Who cares? Who cares?
Like, buddy, you should care because Knies will be on the American team.
I know,
a year from
great.
Now.
Just another one I get to cheer.
You know what I'm interested in?
He will for sure. Now that I think about it, why wasn't he there?
Of these guys. Who's playing and who's not playing on the weekend?
Matthews will play neither. That is my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing.
You think?
Why wouldn't he play?
Well, if he's hurt, he's forcing it for tonight. See, he wouldn't miss this game for the world.
Don't start with me. Don't start with me.
If you wanted to have a Leafs, he's
good enough to play tonight, and nothing significant happens to him. These guys like. They're fighting for playoff spots, okay? They're getting paid tens of millions of dollars. Season ticket holders have put investments in the NHL season. I just paid. Maybe I'm going to my first game ever on the weekend, and the Stars are taking off.
Yeah.
That's not the way the business should work.
May I present to you a load management? This is the NBA. Here's the best players in the world who don't play 10 games a year.
I don't want to hear it.
Just plug the ears. I think there's a chance that, okay, Matthews, they play at home on Saturday against Carolina. The beloved season ticket holders who won't get out of their seats for one moment for anything in the game, they'll be having sushi. For them, he'll play that game. And then the second half of back-to-back in Chicago maybe misses that. Is that fair? Would that be okay? Or no?
If they come out and say he's lower body, upper body, day to day, I may let it get away with
rest management.
I hear some stakes for the boys tonight, by the way.
I hear precautionary, and I'm like, get your ass on the ice.
A load management.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, hey, we're glad we hashed that out.
They're gonna manage his.
He's playing.
Oh my God.
He's playing.
Yeah. There's no. It's. Is there any? Is there any prominent Leafs on either team, boys? Is there anything happening tonight?
Do you want to hear an Ottawa Senator fan wants to hear that Brady Tkachuk's taking the weekend off?
Brady probably should. He's been sick, right?
And they lose by a point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be tough. That would be tough. Some high stakes for old Matthews and Marner tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And in the eye of public perception, I would say everyone would like to see nice performances from the
Leafs.
You're
always going to have guys that are stars from their respective clubs playing this over the course of 40 or 50 years where the points don't support it or their roles aren't as important as other star players. And I'm sure they'll be good tonight, but will it satisfy Leaf fans that they're not the stars?
Can I be honest? I hope Matthews has a dreadful game. I hope he can't touch the puck. I want his injury. I want 0 points dash five. That's what I'm praying for tonight.
Well, this concludes our
Go, Leaf. Mitch, go! This, God!
This concludes our Leaf edition of our program. All right, we go national next. We'll welcome in Eric Lindros. We had a conversation earlier. We can't wait to play that for you as we continue to get you ready for the big matchup between Canada and the USA tonight for a Nations Tournament.
Whew.
Don't go away.